Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Coming up today, we've got Must Hear Music with Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital, Joe Lynch, because, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to us on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and you can even give us a rating. It makes us, you know, happy and stuff. Only if you say nice things. You can say bad things too. That's fine too. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/billboardpodcasts. So today on Must Hear Music, Joe and the team will be discussing new tunes from Ali and AJ and Blub Pop and Justin Bieber. The latter two teamed up for the new single Friends, which is due to debut on next week's Billboard Hot 100 chart. Fun fact, Blub Pop co-wrote the bulk of the tracks on Lady Gaga's last album, Joanne, as well as a number of the tunes on both Bieber's last full-length set, Purpose, and Madonna's last studio effort, Rebel Heart. Clearly, Blub Pop knows his way around pop superstars. So, with that said, let's get into it on Must Hear Music.
All right, hello, and welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. My name is Joe Lynch, and I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
This is kind of like a special breaking news alert edition of Must Hear Music, because we recorded a podcast and was, you know, prepping to unleash that into the world, and then lo and behold, Her Holiness Taylor Swift unleashes her inner demons and comes out with a new song. So we are recording this little thing, and then we will proceed with the rest of the podcast, which is recorded pre-Swift.
Pre-Swift.
As history
will
now.
It's a whole different era.
Yeah, pre-Look What You Made Me Do. But anyway, so let's talk about it.
I would say, just quickly, I would say the title Look What You Made Me Do refers to us adding an addendum onto this podcast.
Yeah, look what she made us do.
Look what she made us do.
I'm here on a Friday, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, at work on a Friday. What a saint.
Who does that?
Yeah. Truly incredible stuff there. Really inspiring, Lindsay. Anyways,
work, you know?
let's talk about this Taylor Swift. So, Look What You Made Me Do, first single from Reputation, significantly dark, sinister, some caustic, I believe was a great word you used in your wonderful little review,
wow.
Jason.
Thanks,
so, why don't you kick us off?
Sure. I mean, my initial reaction to this was just surprise, because it just, look, I wrote about earlier this week about what you can sort of expect from this, because you knew from the album title Reputation, the album artwork with the headlines, she was definitely not going to move on from some of the controversies that plagued her last year. You knew she was going to address it. What I didn't expect is like this totally bonkers song where you have all these moving parts and she's so like pissed off in it, and she's taking names and is like, I don't know. I pictured her getting a little bit darker, but I mm-hmm. didn't expect to this degree. What did you guys think about that? Were you guys like, when were you guys like, whoa, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, last night, like,
oh my god, yeah, of course I was there. I like was going to sleep because I was very tired, but then I was like, I stayed up for this.
So did Alexa. Alexa usually goes to bed at like 10. Little angel.
Wow, doxing grandma Alexa. Yeah. That's awesome.
So she comes running into my room like a few minutes before midnight and is like, it's out. And then we actually recorded our first listen.
Nice.
And I have a video of it. It's so funny.
Post it on Twitter, please.
We thought about it.
Yeah,
it's a little, it's too
yeah
much.
You're actually going to have to post that.
But yeah, so we were just like listening, and we're just like, we kind of like it because I like weird music, and this mm-hmm. is kind of dark. Like the beat makes no sense, really.
Yeah.
So I was into it, and then when she was like, "The old Taylor is dead," we both like lost it. We were like, "What?" And then we played that back.
Baba Shook. Yeah.
Yeah, we were. So that was my first take on it. I really like it. I feel like I'm in the minority here.
I was just going to say, very quick aside, I saw The Babadook for the first time 2 nights ago.
It's a very good movie.
I haven't seen it still.
Sorry. I had to point that out.
It's a great film. I also really like it. But for, I mean, yeah, I was very, confused and surprised when I first heard it. I mean, it's, here's the thing. Like, she, like, lyrically, she's touched on this before, maybe not quite so maliciously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the real surprise is, like, she's usually such a, like, perfectionist. Like, everything sounds so polished from her, like, from her country singer-songwriter stuff to, like, Blank Space is, like, such an immaculate production. And this, like you've said, Jason, this is, like, a messy, jarring production.
Yeah.
It's not, like, perfectly put together. And you could say, you know, maybe that's, like, the point of it. Like, she wants to, like, show some edges and kind of disrupt things and be, you know, a little more, I don't know, you know, sonically adventurous than you're going to get on a perfectly patched together pop single. But I like, I mean, listen, it's the other thing that really struck me is just it's crazy that this is not unsimilar to Swish Swish, and that, like, Katie and Taylor both have these, like, 90s throwback, 90s club throwback tracks within the same, you know, year. And this is not, like, a, you know, 90s sure are, like, hot right now, but it's not, like, 90s club-influenced tracks are, like, tearing up the radio. Like, it's a strange thing to throw back to, and that both of them are kind of doing that at the same time is very odd. And then, you know, there's, of course, the part where she's, like, speak singing, which sounds very much like Fergie on My Humps. It's just, it's so weird. And that's, again, another thing that's not, like, that's hot right now. It's not like anyone's, like, clamoring for more of that. So it's so, but, you know, but I like both of those things. Like, I'm not against it. It's just, it's strange, you know. I mean, she's, I think it's sonically risky and it's also career risky because I'm sure it'll debut at number one. This is not a Billboard prediction. I'm just, my prediction. But I cannot imagine this being, like, a consistent top 10 hit. Like, you know, it's not, the radio is not going to regularly play this. Like,
I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's so different, and maybe it's a little too different to your point. But I think that hook is really catchy. Like, the, what you're calling, like, the Fergie-esque, like, look what you made me do.
Yeah.
It's really catchy. And someone pointed out, I think this morning, that it's, like, pointed this out, that it's, like, a perfect kind of club snippet. Like, you can hear the remix.
I mean, Swish Swish not doing great on the Hot 100, but, like, I hear it in, like, the clubs and the gay bars all the time. Like, this, I think, 100% is going to be the same thing. And the other crazy thing about it, so we, Gil Kaufman, one of our great writers, did an interview with them, so it interpolates the beat from Right Said Fred's I'm Too Sexy.
Yep.
You know, another
thing. Not the beat, the melody.
Both, kind of. The beat, if you line them up, the beat is pretty similar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was just melody. Anyway.
Again, another, like, who thought that Taylor Swift was going to take I'm Too Sexy as a big sonic inspiration?
Next, I hope second single has, like, an interpretation of Rico Suave. Let's get some Gerardo in there.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, real. Anyways, and they, one interesting thing they said in their interview was their original, you know, everyone kind of thinks that as, like, a dumb song, but it was, like, a satire on, like, 80s excess, the whole I'm Too Sexy thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was a fairly cynical song. And this is also a pretty cynical song, which they pointed out.
Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting connection that I did not think of. Myself. But yeah, just in terms of, like, reaction, like, Swish Swish really grew on me. I started thinking, like, and then I ended up loving it, and I feel like the same is gonna happen with this. Like, I've listened to it a lot, and I don't even say I love it now, but I recognize that I want to keep returning to it.
For those who did not attend my karaoke birthday party, Joe performed Swish Swish with my wife. So that is burned in my brain forever. Yeah.
It's on the internet.
Yeah.
If you want to look on the internet. For it.
Don't let people know that.
Yeah. Speaking of the internet, one really interesting thing that I did see on Twitter, which I keep going back to, someone pointed out that the title of this song, by calling it Look What You Made Me Do, not like Look What I've Done, or like, she's taking no ownership. She's, like, once again making herself the victim here, which kind of makes me not like the song, because then I'm just like, no one really made you do that. Basically, I'm having this internal struggle here where I'm like, first off, I feel kind of bad for you if you feel like you're at a point where you're like this, in this dark place, because of all the things that people made you do, and, like, you know, what the headlines say, and, like, what people think of you. Like, that's kind of sad. But yeah. Then it's also like, well, no one made you do this dark release, you know? Like, this was your artistic decision. So I won't be getting any sleep tonight.
There might be a little
tonight.
Bit of a smirk with it. I mean, I can't say that for certain.
Yeah.
Like, well, it might not be a totally earnest darkness. Maybe kind of like character role-playing sort of thing.
Well,
one of the things, and we were on an email chain this morning, Joe, where Justin Bieber's Sorry was brought up.
Yes.
And
that was me. Yeah.
That was you? Yeah. Well done, sir. but, you know, I've been thinking about that since then, and I think part of the problem, and this song has gotten wildly mixed reviews thus far, I would say leaning more toward negative than positive. But I think part of the problem is that when Justin Bieber dropped Sorry, like, it just made sense from a narrative perspective. Like, people kind of, even if you're a casual fan, you kind of knew he had done some dumb stuff and had some personal issues and kind of had like a quote unquote fall from grace from when his, you know, when he first started out as like this precocious kid.
Yeah.
He comes back with this song Sorry, and it's a great song, but also it makes sense for like him being like, I'm owning up to my mistakes. This, I think, makes less sense for people because the Taylor versus Kimye thing and, you know, the Calvin Harris stuff, like, it's not quite as memorable as, like, I think a lot of what I've seen is like, so you have this instance where she's like, look what you made me do, like, nobody trusts me, and I think people are just kind of confused, like, what did we make you do?
Right.
It's a lot more nebulous.
Yeah,
sure.
So, and I think that disconnect has created this problem of, if say like Taylor Swift had almost a worse year last year and she, you know, got completely destroyed on, you know, on a number of occasions instead of just like this weird Snapchat thing that caused like a week or half a week worth of headlines, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be one thing, and then she kind of comes back. But I think that I think people are just wondering, like, what is all this about? And I think that has colored a lot of the reaction to this song. So
I think
that's
a good point.
Psychoanalysis.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And I think it's also, you know, like with the Bieber stuff, of course he had defenders and people were like, oh, leave him alone. But that was a more universally, like, everyone could be like, all right, well, he did some dumb kid stuff.
Yeah.
But like the Taylor Kimye thing is so, like, it's one of those confusing things where you're kind of like, at the end of the day, you're not sure, like, what wrong was done or if anyone did wrong or if it was just this weird miscommunication. So it's so nebulous. Yeah, people, and, you know, it wasn't universally that people hated her either. Like, I think she could have come out and not addressed it and people would have been fine moving on without thinking about it. But
also with Bieber, like, Sorry sort of moved his narrative forward, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like this is backtracking so much.
That's true.
So...
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem. I will say, though, that so I like this song. I don't love it. I like this song. I think it has some really cool elements. I will say this has me so excited for this album. I think that like I'm so pumped for like weird Taylor Swift. We've never seen weird Taylor Swift before.
I think that's why I like it, because I'm not a Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the whole album can't be this weird, though.
Really?
I would be shocked if it was.
That's the thing. This is the lead single, man. So I don't know.
I feel like smart lead single. I feel like there's got to be some like immaculate pop confection on this.
Sure. Yeah,
that's coming our way. But I don't know.
Maybe she just makes like a full like Bjork album. Like, let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go. Oh, like the throat singers. Like she just does like Medulla. That'd be great. That'd be all
about.
That's
probably what's gonna happen. Yeah. Good point.
Great production.
But yeah, so I mean, this is obviously everyone is, I think, forced to have an opinion on this. So if you've got one, please tweet them at us. Let us know what you think about the song / the narrative / its chances on the charts. And let's give a listen to this. So Taylor Swift, Look What You Made Me Do. And we're going to listen to a little bit of that. And then after that, we're going to go into our previously recorded podcast. So here it is, new Taylor. I check it once, then I check it twice. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you. Hello Hello and welcome to this week's Must Hear Music. My name is Joe Lynch and I am here with Jason Lipschitz.
What's up, man?
And Lindsay Havens.
Hi.
And so yeah, we got some tunes.
We
like,
sure do.
Like we do
like every
most
episodes.
Yeah. So this week we're going to run through Justin Bieber's new song with Blood Pop, Friends. Dave East featuring French Montana Maneuver. A new-ish, sort of bending the rules on this one, Jamila Woods and Chance the Rapper song.
I asked if we had any rules. I don't think we do here.
If we do, they're being bent.
Okay.
A song from Sid, J. Roddy Walston and The Biz.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ally and AJ, The Return of Ally and AJ, which has people been tweeting at me about, and the song's officially
really?
Out. So now, it's time to talk about it.
Thanks, people. That's awesome.
But let's start with, the man, the legend, Jason. Specifically talking about Justin Bieber.
Yeah, so Justin Bieber and Blood Pop and with their friends Justin Tranter and Julia Michaels mm-hmm. released a new song. It's good. I mean, we've talked a lot about Justin Bieber on this podcast. The new single is fun. It sounds like a weekend song a lot, and just in terms of that kind of like cruising production. I think that some of the lyrics are a little iffy, but I think overall it hits its mark. I don't really have like a drawn out opinion on this. It's not like a huge change up for him. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like completely amazing or wretched or even mm-hmm. It's not like mediocre at all. It's just like very solid. So what'd mm-hmm. you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, when we did the little Billboard staff poll, I voted for Sorry over this song.
Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah, for those who aren't.
For people who are listening who maybe haven't read every article on Billboard.com.
Well, for the few of you who don't continuously read the website, we did a little staffer poll in the office basically comparing Friends and Sorry. And I think most people voted.
Because it's the same two co-writers, Justin Tranter and Julia Michaels wrote
and
both those songs.
Essentially the same
And same producer, too. Blood Pop produced or co-produced both.
Yeah,
but like... lyrically almost the same, thematically sort of the same, lots of similarities, but I think most of us voted for Sorry.
Yeah.
I know I did. So to me, Friends feels a little bit cheap just because it's like Sorry Part 2. What did you call it in your...
I called it Sorry Not Sorry.
You had another one too, didn't you? Sorry Light, was that you?
Sorry Light, I don't know.
I don't know.
Sorry Not Sorry
diet,
is funnier, though.
Diet Sorry.
Yeah, Diet Sorry, if you will. I mean, Friends is great. I listened to it a few times. It's just not what I wanted
Excellent.
For Beeb's return. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it is great, guys.
Okay.
No, I totally hear what you're saying. Like, it's very similar to Sorry. It has that vocal modulation squiggly thing mm-hmm. that's been so popular for like 2 years now. And I admit that's getting a little old. But I think just in terms of like an environment where there isn't a lot of like pop, you know, like Bieber, Carly Jepsen type pop. It's just nice to hear a song like this. Like, there just isn't a lot of that happening. But yeah, it's like Sorry, and it's not as good as Sorry. But there, I think one thing that does sort of recommend it is Blood Pop maybe gets a little more experimental on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of the synths are like a little reverby and kind of angular in a way that reminded me of Grimes' album Art Angels, which he did work on too.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of an edge to it. That's maybe Sorry doesn't have, but yeah, I mean, I agree. It's not as strong, but I mean, Sorry, like, I would consider one of the absolute top pop songs of this decade. So to not be up to that level is still pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I feel. I feel like the exact same way I felt about like when Cold Water came out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Let Me Love You as much. What was the other song? I guess like I'm the One. I mean, it's just like another successful mm-hmm. Bieber song where he's, you know, doing his thing and it's entertaining enough. I don't think it's, you know, blow you away type of material, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's tough to fault someone too when they're like, when they reach like a pinnacle and the stuff that comes after it is like just pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't want to be like, oh, you suck for just being B+ now.
Yeah.
You know, but anyways. But let's listen to it. So it's Justin Bieber and Blood Pop. Blood Pop gets the same billing with Bieber, so good for him. The song's called Friends. No, we didn't end this so good.
but you know we had something so good. I'm wondering, can we still be friends? Can we still be friends? Doesn't have to end.
All right. Next up, let's talk. Let's pivot to another Jason pick, though.
Ooh, wow.
Double going Jason. So Dave East featuring French Montana.
Yeah.
So Dave East, we had a, speaking of Billboard.com, a very nice interview with him.
Really?
Our new hip-hop editor, totally Carl that. Lamar, interviewed him for a great piece that went up sometime last week. I forget when, but
sometime
point
last week.
Just
it's true.
Google Dave East Billboard. It's the most recent one.
Cool. Yeah, so Dave East is a rapper from Harlem. He signed to Def Jam maybe like a year or two ago. And I was going to combine the word just and dropped into drust. He
love
just
it.
Dropped his, I think, proper debut album. I could be wrong with that.
I think he's calling, and I could be wrong also, I think he's calling this an EP, which is bizarre because it's 40 minutes.
Well, you know, the classification will have to be TBD.
Yeah.
But Paranoia, A True Story, it has a bunch of big guest stars on it. Maneuver features French Montana. I just picked this one because I just like this the best. It's he has the single with Chris Brown that's doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. He has a song with Jeezy that I like. But yeah, I think that this is like, it kind of shows his skills, and it doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles or like a huge hook or anything like that. But it's really, I don't know. It's just like very magnetic in terms of like kind of pulling you into his world, and you kind of, like I said, you get a sense of who he is at this point. It's not like thrilling, but it's just great. I mean, I could see this like being a song in like a TV soundtrack or a movie soundtrack, or even getting some radio play. What did you guys think of Dave East featuring French Montana?
Well, I listened to half of this song.
Oh, no. Lindsay.
Yeah, not because I didn't like it. Just simply ran out of time.
Oh,
but
wow.
I liked where it was going, if that's anything.
I'm not going to spoil the ending for you.
Yeah, I don't know what happens. Just don't ruin it.
Yeah, it takes a crazy turn in the
yeah.
last 10
Maybe
seconds.
It does.
It was produced by M. Night Shyamalan, so there's so a big twist
you just
at
never
the end.
Know.
Yeah.
I mean, even though we're talking about Dave East, I will say I've recently become a pretty big fan of French Montana. So,
wow.
So maybe this would be my favorite off of the album. What'd you say?
I said that's something you don't hear every day.
Yeah, it's pretty unusual. But I keep, whenever I walk through our office when the Hot 100 songs play, or whenever I hear them on the radio, I'm like, I really like this song. And I realize it's a French Montana song.
Yes.
He's got some hits. Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. I listen to, it's so weird because, very quick aside, I have this running playlist that I listen to like every morning. I like listening to the same like order of 12 songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I can honestly say that I listen to French Montana's Pop That every single morning. It's like the
for
eighth
how
or
long
ninth song.
Now?
For a couple months now, maybe even more than mm-hmm. that. But yeah, I just
that's
like
interesting.
I can honestly say every morning
that's
good.
Yeah.
Pop That. Yeah.
Wait, you run every morning?
Yeah, most mornings, yeah.
That was his humble brag.
Yeah, that really was.
Well, what can I say?
Well, I wake up every morning.
That's
so
true.
I
well, I would
that.
Hope so, or else who's going to lead the Must Hear Music?
Hey, I'm proud of you for that. That's
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, so I guess I don't have too much to add other than, I've been hearing a lot about him. I like it. It's hard for me to tell, like, I don't know. I need to, I think, listen to it more in mm-hmm. terms of, like, you know, is he, you know, potentially one of the greats, or is he just like a pretty good rapper who's on
yeah.
the scene? Like, I don't know. But I will say I really love the, there's this, the saxophone in the background.
Yeah.
Kind of this like lonely late night sort of sultry thing.
I know.
I thought that was a good.
It's kind of, it's kind of nice too. The whole album is kind of nice just because it's such a, like a straightforward rap album. And I definitely need, it just came out, I think 3 days ago.
Yeah.
So I need to spend more time with it. I didn't hear it before it came out, but to me, it's just like a very straightforward rap album, and I always kind of appreciate when that happens, just because so much of popular hip hop right now is, you know, more pop focused and more kind of, you know, you have the sing songy stuff, and
mm-hmm.
Which is cool, and I admire it and enjoy it on occasion, but yeah, I enjoy this album.
All right, well, let's listen to some of that. So it's Dave East featuring French Montana. The song is called Maneuver.
Put it up, bro.
If it's about a bag, I maneuver. I'm on the hand-to-hand maneuver. Maneuver. Fresh about the trap, I maneuver. In that phone, I maneuver. BVS is on me. Keep my weapon on me. Protect for leave.
Yeah.
My bitch a freak.
Yeah. Now tell me how you want it. Them bad bitches on me. 100 freaks.
Yeah.
100 V's.
Yeah.
All right, let's do, we haven't done Lynn's pick, so.
Let's do it.
Let's do, so we have Jamila Woods featuring Chance the Rapper, LSD, and I was saying this is bending the rules just a little bit, because technically this did hit SoundCloud a year ago, but is officially out now.
Correct.
So.
And it's sort of relevant once again, because the music video just came out.
The music video did just come out, and it is it's a great song.
So. Yeah, and I sort of feel like. Maybe not everyone was aware of this album when it came out last year, and it's incredible.
Accurate. Yeah.
So, shout out to Jamila. I mean, it was a smart move and a great move that she could get Chance on a song, and that obviously I think is the most popular off the album, which is called Heaven, H-E-A-V-N. Mm-hmm. Similar to Havens, if you will.
Wow.
But,
and she's Chicago, right?
Yeah. That, I mean, that's
obviously, that's why we're talking.
Wow. Yeah, right.
And
Chicago's
this song
number one stan
is basically an ode to Chicago.
It's Jamila Woods.
Wearing a Chicago flag under my outfit.
It's Mayor Daley.
No, too far. Too far. But yeah, this song in particular is basically like an ode to the city because the lyrics aren't anything spectacular. I mean, she's talking about like driving down Lakeshore Drive, LSD, sort of looking at Lake Michigan, how it's not an ocean, but it's
her
favorite.
That, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
So you know what it's like.
I know what it's like in the big windy.
Oh, yeah. As we call it. Mm-hmm.
You Midwest kids.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, another one I wanted to shout out was Very Black with No Name, just because I love No Name as well. And I think the two of them together is something really special. Just more Chicago love all around.
That's so cool. What was cool last month was Jamila was at Pitchfork Fest, and unfortunately, right before, like an hour before their set, she was going to be on the small stage, and the Avalanches were going to be on the main stage. The Avalanches had to pull out for a personal problem. So Jamila, like you could, so I was at the small stage, and you could see Jamila and her whole crew, like we're going to the main stage, and it was really cool.
That's so great.
It was a hometown show, so yeah, she's great.
Was the crowd big?
Yeah, it was actually very, very big. So yeah.
Cool.
And how'd your dad like it?
Oh, he loved it. He definitely was into Jamila.
I think she's fantastic. This song in particular, I think the production is really complex and interesting. You know, it kind of falls into that like soulful funk kind of zone out music that you kind of put
it on
and just like lay back and, you know, and imagine things.
Totally. Or drive down Lakeshore
Or
Drive.
Yeah, exactly. Or a good driving sort of.
Lay back and imagine things.
Let your mind take over.
yep.
How do you listen to other music?
I don't know. Sometimes, I feel like some music you listen to while you're going about and like maybe you're cleaning or
flailing your arms
or doing other
wildly.
Activities and other types of music or things you just like lay down
it's
and
true.
Kind of like let your mind kind of wander to weird places.
That explains it. When I walk by your desk and I just see you laying down, you're imagining
yeah,
things.
Yeah, exactly. On my back.
That's what's happening.
What's Joe doing? Oh, he's imagining things.
Listen, guys, I like to do a lot of imagining, okay? I don't need this. All right. Let's listen to it. It's Jamila Woods featuring Chance the Rapper, called LSD. Very fitting title.
You ain't think I really had it like that. You ain't think we really had it like that. You didn't think I really had it like that. Matter of fact, we can swim in it. I know you wanna get in it.
Get on the highway.
All right, that was LSD. Now onto a fairly different sound. Ellie and AJ. So this is one of my picks.
Would have been my pick too.
The song is called "Take Me," and it is awesome.
A banger.
So for those who are unfamiliar, admittedly, this I was not a big Disney Channel viewer around the time of What was it? Wait, you Phil were, to the future were, or yeah. something?
Yeah,
what was
so
Phil
wait,
of the future.
Phil of the
Phil
future.
Of the fu- so, guys. Lindsay, what, like, tell us about this show. I have no idea what this show
no,
is.
You guys, considering my age is an advantage here for
yeah.
I actually don't remember the show that well.
Aww.
He could. I think he saw into the future, but now I'm thinking that might just be That's So Raven.
That is, but I'm sure they recycled it and copied it for a million other shows.
Yeah. Anyway, I wasn't even a fan of their acting careers. Their music careers really
right.
sold me on the
so one
sister
of,
duo.
One or both of them was on a Disney Channel show.
I think it was Allie.
And then they
oh, they
had,
both weren't on it? So wait, what?
I think it was Allie, and then I think AJ sort of like tagged on to her career.
Aww,
and then they
cool.
did some movies together. And then they started singing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they had a couple, two or three albums even, like mm-hmm. 10 years ago, more like kind of teen-oriented, like pop rock stuff on Hollywood Records, which is Disney's label for kind, I mean, really like more kind of like kid stuff type things. Like Demi was on that back before she kind of grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they disappeared. They started this other band called 78 Violet, which was supposed
yeah.
to be their, like, we're adults now, and then mm-hmm. no one really paid attention. So I think they're very smartly, like, dusting back off the Allie and AJ moniker. But the sound is, like, 100% adult, but it's not in that, like, Miley Cyrus, former Disney star adult thing. They're not, like, I'm an adult because I'm sexual now.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm an adult because I'm listening to more complicated music, and I'm having a more, like, mature production.
Right.
It's just very beautiful. It's kind of this, like, disorienting, breathy 80s synth pop, very well put together. The vocals sound great. It's just, you know, I mean, this is kind of a style that's come back in vogue for the last 10 years, and with varying degrees of success, you know, kind of more in the indie world than anything else. And I think they're doing a fantastic job with it. I mean, like I said, you know, it's an 80s throwback. It's kind of like when it's back in the popular consciousness these days, it's more in the indie realm. So this is not like going to be a chart banger, but
right.
I feel like this is the kind of thing that could get a placement in a commercial or a movie trailer or something and like actually blow up in some sense.
I want to quickly interject. Phil of the Future.
Yes.
According to Wikipedia, follows a family from the future that gets stranded in the 21st century
oh, right.
when their time machine breaks down.
They had sprayable, they had all these cans. You'd open their pantry. They'd be like, what do you want for dinner, kids? And they'd be like, brownies. And then you'd spray on a tray and brownies would be there. Now I remember the
show. But aerosol's so bad for the environment.
Yeah, it's...
Didn't matter back then. I mean...
Back then. In the future.
Forward then.
Also, you mentioned that they started in some movies. I only see one Allie and AJ. Wow, you remember. So it's called Cowbells and Bells, like Bell of the Ball. That's how it's spelled.
It's the only one?
So they're like Southern Bells sort of thing?
I don't know. You
yeah.
tell, you tell
yeah,
us.
Yeah, and then maybe. I think their family loses money or something. And they have to work in like a milk factory.
Oh, my God.
I think this
is
accurate.
Sounds like really ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I love this song. Yeah, also, check out 78 Violet's single, Hot House. That song was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, as an Allie and AJ longtime listener, what do you think about
yeah,
this,
yeah. I saw them open for Miley Cyrus when she was
oh, really?
Touring as Hannah Montana.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was amazing. I've been a fan forever. Potential Breakup Song is probably one of my favorite songs ever. But
wow.
I'm just really happy. In our music meeting last Friday, I gasped because I saw the email saying that they had returned. So I was really happy that they have new music out. And I wouldn't say it's everything I wanted because I'd be perfectly happy if they put out a song that didn't sound any more mature than their
mm-hmm.
old material.
Yeah.
But I do like where it's headed.
Yeah, but they're late 20s now. I mean, they can't... You gotta let them grow up.
Yeah, fine.
What if they... Yeah, it'd be cool if one of these... I mean, cool, I guess. But, like, if one of these, like, Disney Channel stars just didn't grow up. They're
right?
just like... they're, like, 45 and they're still making, like, teen pop.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great. It'd be fine.
Could have been
that.
That
would be really interesting.
Yeah.
And probably frightening too. All right. Well, let's listen to some of it. Allie and AJ, Take Me. And once again, I want to say thank you to the several people who tweeted recommendations at me about this, as well as even people in the office have been asking me about this. I feel like I've been getting bombarded.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really funny. People meaning Taylor. Shout out to Sam Lansky, formerly of Time Magazine, now at Spotify, who like will ride or die with Ali and AJ forever and ever. Like when this song came out, I texted him, and and he was all about it. So congrats to him. All
right, there we go. Let's give it a listen.
Make a move and make it now.
All right, that was Ali and AJ, Take Me. Let's do one more time. All right, let's do it. Sorry, we're going to do another one of my pick.
Go
we'll
for it.
We'll wrap with the Havens.
Okay.
So J. Roddy Walston and The Business is a band led by J. Roddy Walston. Not his real name, but that's what he's going. So they had an album in 2013 that was called Emotional Tremors, which is good. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I wasn't like a ride or die fan of it. They have a new album coming out called Destroyers of the Soft Life, and I heard the whole thing yesterday.
Oh.
And it is awesome. It's very, very impressive. It's a really, they're kind of a little more polished, but at the same time a little more adventurous, I would say. And one of the songs from that called You Know Me Better is out now. And I just love, like, I unexpectedly, like, love this. It just, like, to me, it has, like, it's rock. It's, like, fairly straightforward in that sense. But it, like, has a lot of the Arcade Fire grandeur of, like, their older stuff before they started, like, discoing it up. There's kind of that, like, about to burst emotional feeling of, like, Hold Steady songs from, like, 10 years ago. Aww. But it keeps from being, like, a little too sappy, a little too emotional because the riffs are, like, they're very crunchy, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, you get kind of, like, some early Weezer shadings on some of those. It's a really, like, it has a great buildup. It's just, there aren't, like, and, I mean, we've talked about, you know, there aren't, like, a ton of great rock songs these days. It's not, like, what's, like, really the most adventurous or challenging music. But I think this is a really fantastic, interesting song. But as a resident, you know, rock stan, I'd be curious what you thought of this, Lindsay.
Well, I do have that on my resume, but I love this song. And this is one of those bands where I've heard the name for a really long time, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, I know, like, I know who they are, and I actually don't. I've never really listened.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy that you picked a song because it forced me to take a minute and listen and confirm that I am indeed a fan. It's right up my alley. The beginning sort of reminded me of, like, a weird fusion of Ryan Adams and Kurt Vile.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Like somewhere in between, but also a little bit harder than both.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm excited to hear the album, especially if you say it's great.
I do. What do you think, Jason?
I really like this, actually. Yeah. It's funny because I will always, like, so I've been to Bonnaroo 6 times. I'm pretty sure J. Roddy Walston and The Business have been there 5 of those times.
I mean,
that's not true, but I feel like every time I've been to Bonnaroo ever, they're there and they're jamming out and everybody's enjoying. They're like a quintessential Bonnaroo band. So I've enjoyed their live show at Bonnaroo and elsewhere, but have never really explored their catalog. And I'm glad you sent this over because I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I think it kind of, you know, I've also seen them live, and this is different than that. It's a little more focused, a little more polished, but yeah, it's very solid. I'm totally
And I think that's why I haven't sought out their catalog because I didn't think it would be this focused. So yeah, I like it.
All right, cool. So the rest of the album without giving anything away, but there's these great little kind of like flourishes on it, like before and after some of the tracks, they'll just throw in like kind of like instrumental noodling, kind of white album-ish, which is always fun.
Yeah. When is it out?
September 29th, I think, if memory serves. But yeah, so it's J. Roddy Walston and The Business. Song is called You Know Me Better.
Think it's just as well. You know me better than I know myself. I don't have to think. I think it's just as well.
I
You Know Me Better. That reminds me of a Roisin
Murphy
song.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I definitely thought of that great Roisin Murphy song, You Know Me Better. Oh, yeah. I love her so much.
I know you do. I know you do. I
think about her all the time.
It's pretty weird.
For a pop star that no one really cares about in America, I think about her an awful lot. All right. So next and last, Lindsay, we have Syd, S-Y-D.
Yep.
Song is Bad Dreams / No Looking Back. This is Syd of the internet / Odd Future adjacent fame. What do you have to say about this one?
I think it's pretty awesome. She put out her debut in February, so getting back out there pretty quickly. And this is just
gonna,
a great
song. I was
going
to ask, like, is it this like a leftover track? Do you know?
No. A project is coming out. The date I saw was September 8th, but I don't know if that was 100% confirmed. Cool. But yeah, it's either... She put out album art for it, and it's either going to be like a visual project or an EP or an album. Not really known, but it appears as though this will be on that. Cool. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's awesome. The lyrics are really great to me, and they remind me a lot of The Weeknd because they're just like super sultry and a lot of the stuff that he gets into. But you don't often hear it from a female, which is why I think it's really cool. It's just like late night, lights low R&B, you know?
That's
Send
a,
the mood.
A good weekend comparison.
So,
because
the net, like tomorrow, I'm going to catch you. Joe's going to be at his desk imagining himself things, and Lindsay's going to like be lowering the lights while listening to Syd.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, no, I. What's great about Syd is she's so distinct, and that's one of the things I loved about Finn. Her album, who came, it came out in February. It feels like so long ago. But yeah, I mean, no one else is really making music like Syd, and I've returned to that album a lot. And I thought this might have been a cast off just because it definitely continues in that mode. But I'm excited to hear more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much. You know, I think it's I like songs that fall into that like seductive hookup, but like specifically unromantic genre.
Yeah.
That The Weeknd does a lot of, but you're right, you don't hear it enough from women, and I mean part of that is just because people are less willing to buy that kind of music from women, unfortunately. But yeah, like there's the line, "We only kiss when we're," that said over and over. That's awesome. It's a good one. But yeah, it's good. I totally dig it. I like her. I've seen her live. She's fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, let's listen to it. We're closing in our time.
Let's
so,
do it.
Syd, Bad Dreams / No Looking Back.
I'm on my way, you tell me to wait. Say your place is a mess, doesn't matter to me. Don't waste your time. Be there in 10, but it buzz me in. We say we don't want no love in this, but when we're intimate, you don't resist. We might get lit in the moment, but I'm the shit and you know it. Just call me when you get done.
Alright, that was Syd, S-Y-D. And that's all we got for this podcast.
What an episode, huh?
What an
Wow, got a little bit of everything.
I liked every song that we talked about today.
Yeah, I think I did too, actually. No duds on this one. Usually we, you know, squeak in a couple stinkers, right?
Do we?
No, I'm just kidding. Just briefly, because we do have to run. So Billboard Hot 100 Fest was this last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
What was everyone's favorite act that they saw?
I loved Big Sean. Thought he put on a really great show, and I'd never seen him live. I also love T-Pain. He did like a little soulful jam in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
His voice is incredible when he's not singing through the
vocoder / auto-tune. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I was only there on Sunday, but shout out to Camila. She was great.
She was really good.
Mm-hmm. We were all mobbing. You know what's so funny? So I don't know if you guys noticed. Did you notice? So for those who weren't there, a bunch of us Billboard people were in like the pit watching Camila. And I was just like, I was being goofy and whatnot. And I saw to our left our two interns. Did you guys see them?
I saw them, yeah.
Yes.
And like, but clearly didn't want to like hang with us. And so I came over to them this morning. I was like, yo, saw you guys at Camila. What's going on? You don't want to come over? And they were like, oh, Sorry. I was like, I don't want to make you feel bad.
Well, way to go.
Shame
them. Sounds like you did.
But yeah, Camila's like live show is on point.
She had a great live presence. Great. Yes, her voice sounded very good, and it was just a great. She seemed so joyous. It was
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, see if like for those listening, see Camila live. She's opening for Bruno Mars. Should be great.
It's a good show. For me, Tinashe. I loved. She's such such a good dancer. Her backup dancers are incredible.
Yeah, I love Tinashe.
It was just fantastic. But yeah. All right, Billboard High 100. Ooh, another one for the books. Swish, swish, bish. Another one in the basket.
Wow. Sure.
All right. Thank you for listening. If you have any recommendations for music, please hit us up on Twitter or thoughts about the ones we talked about. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.